This is Digital Story Podcast number 884, February 28th, 2023. Today's theme is AI photo editing on your smartphone. I'm Derek Story. Using AI editing tools on a smartphone makes even more sense than on your computer. Image enhancement on mobile devices is not the easiest task in the world. Their smaller screens and less precise input, aka our fingers, present a bit of a challenge. AI tools can help, and today we're going to look at one such offering from Skylum that can really speed things up. I hope you enjoy the show. All right, this is a very cool app I'm going to talk about, with possibly the worst name in the world. This is a new app for mobile devices, both Android and iOS, made by Skylum. And I'm going to spell it for you, and then I'm going to let you decide how you would pronounce it. The spelling is I-M-G-M-I. I-M-G-M-I. So we're just going to call it the Skylum mobile app right now, but know that I'm talking about the app that is IMGMI. Sounds like something that Prince would do, doesn't it? Okay. So anyway, this app has been out for a little bit. I believe it came out in September of 2022, but the reason why I'm talking about it today is that Skylum released two new tools for it, and it's really starting to round out nicely. And the two tools they did today was a skin, AI skin, and AI body, which I'll talk about in a bit, but I want to talk about all the other tools as well. But even before we get to that, let's just talk about an AI image editing application software on your smartphone and why that may be interesting to you. Generally speaking, when I'm working with my iPhone, in my case, I use Photos to touch up images. I do have some other apps that I tap now and then, but most of them do basically the same thing as my Photos app. So I'm usually just using Photos. So I take a picture of my smartphone, which I do often. I do that a lot. And a lot of times, I'll take pictures with that device when I have an immediate need for it because it's connected, right? It's a connected device. So let's just say that I need something really fast for Instagram, or I'm working on a presentation, you know, that I need to have ready in 15 minutes. And I can just use my iPhone, and actually, you know, the iPhone will talk directly to other devices as well, if you have macOS Ventura. So I'll just take the iPhone shot and boom, right away, I have it. I can share it. I can put it here. I can put it there. I don't have to put a card in a slot or anything like that. So there are so many instances when iOS photography just makes sense, or Android photography if you have a Google Pixel or one of those cameras. However, I will say that most of the time, I don't touch up those pictures maybe as much as I would if I was in my normal photography workflow. I do a little of this, a little of that, but quite honestly, I don't do a whole lot of this or a whole lot of that, mainly because it's just a little bit more work on an iPhone, even on an iPad for me. I use an iPad mini. So the thought that something could help me with that, an app that had a little bit more intelligence to complement the tools that I already have and like in Photos, that's intriguing to me. And that's what I'm really looking for. I'm looking for something to augment my existing mobile photography workflow, not so much replace it. And that's where the Skylum mobile app really came in nicely into my workflow. So what kind of things does it do? They have the two new tools, AI Skin, AI Body, but those are added to existing tools, Sky Replacement, which is a really nice tool, and I'm obviously going to cover that, Remove Power Lines, AI Enhance, Basic Adjustments, so that'd be shadows, highlights, contrasts, stuff like that, Crop and Rotate, and Erase Tool, which Skylum has always done really well, their erase tools. And then a collection of LUTs that they call filters, but they're nicer than the average filter, especially that you see on a mobile device. They are, I really think that they're, you know, LUTs, lookup tables. And there's a whole bunch of them too. So those are already in there. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this app's available on both iOS and Android. I did look up the reviews on both platforms, and the iOS version seems to be doing really well. The reviews are very positive and very high. The Google Play version of the app had reviews that were more mixed. Now, I don't have an Android device to test it on right now, but it does have a 7-day free trial. So if you use an Android device, you can listen to what I'm saying today, and if it's of interest to you, then you can take advantage of the 7-day free trial and see what you think. Alrighty. So let's talk about the iOS version. And I use it both on my iPhone 12 Pro Max and my Mini 5. That's what I've been testing it on. The way that it works is the iOS version is that the application, the Skylum app, it taps your photo roll so that any image that you have in Photos, you can open up in its app. And remember the name of that app again, IMGMI. You can open it up in IMGMI. And then once you do that, you can work on it. You can apply all the tools and adjustments that you want. And then you use the share button on the app, and you can save it back to the camera roll as a new image, a new enhanced image, or you can share it the various ways that we share on our mobile devices, you know, through a text message, email, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty flexible, and it does save another version of the photo, right? It doesn't replace anything. It just saves another version of it. Now, the one thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't put it next to the version, the original version. It goes to the end of the camera roll. It writes new metadata, obviously, and it's at the end of the camera roll, not where your other shot is, so they're not together. However, you know, we have things like albums and such where we can, you know, put images together even if they're not sequentially ordered. So, you know, we have those options, but you should know it goes to the end of the camera roll just like a new photo. All right, let's talk about some of the features that it has. And the first one I want to talk about is they call it Select Sky. So when I first looked at this, I was going, okay, here we go. We're going to get, you know, a limited number of skies to choose from. And, you know, it's great the first three or four times you use it. And then suddenly your sky is looking like everyone else's sky that's doing a sky substitution with this app. But this app, fortunately, goes way beyond that. So it's pretty powerful. So the first thing that it does is that when you pull up a new photo, if the photo has a big sky area, the app will instantly recognize that, and it'll just bring up the Select Sky tool for you right away. So it identifies the area of the sky. Now, you are presented with all sorts of different substitute options, and they're divided into categories, which I think is really cool. One thing about this app, you got to make sure you swipe around a bit, or you might be missing something. You might think that it's more limited than it really is. There's all sorts of different options in there. So some of the categories are like blue sky, you know, with clouds and stuff. Dramatic, sunset, all that. So you can go into all the different categories. You see a sky you like, then you just tap on it. And then boom, that sky is added to your photo. It's substituted for the boring sky that you're replacing. Now, if you tap the little tools icon again, you can fine-tune the sky. You don't have to just take it the way they serve it up, right? So you have all sorts of refinements, including relight, defocus, haze. So you got all sorts of things that you can do with this sky. You can play with the orientation of it. Even has a little masking tool that you can use. So you can do a lot of little goodies, even with the stock skies that they serve up. So I'm having pretty much fun with this. And the skies that they give you are pretty good. And then they have some fun stuff too, like galaxy and stuff like that. I did one with me, like up in the stars. I mean, you can go nutty too, of course. Here's the part that was really fun. So I was thinking, boy, wouldn't it be neat if we could add our own skies? Because one thing I always encourage folks to do, whenever they see a really cool sky, just take a picture of the sky. Don't get any ground or anything else in the shot. Just get some really nice sky shots. And if you can, compose your sky shot so that it's as close to the horizon as possible going upward, right? Because that makes a good sky substitution. Guess what? They have this custom feature. You tap on it and you can add your own skies. So I was just going, that's really neat. So I added some of my own skies. I added a night sky that has a comet flying through it. I added an eclipse sky. I added just some nice, pretty blue skies that had clouds in it, just so I don't always use the stock stuff. So it's a pretty versatile little thing. I mean, this right away, the sky substitution is nothing to sneeze at all. And I'm pretty happy with it. And boy, the photos look so different when you put a sky in. Now, I'm not talking about, photojournalistic integrity here. I'm talking about having fun. One of the sky shots I substituted was my car being charged, right? And I liked the shot, and it's a nice shot that I wanted to use as an illustration. And I'm going, boy, I substituted that sky and suddenly it's 10 times better. So anyway, a lot of fun. I like Select Sky a lot. And it's a pretty good implementation for a mobile device. The next one, remove power lines. This one is a trip. This one, I must tell you, I had to manage my expectations for this because I'm going, no way on a mobile device is this thing going to be super effective. And I will say this, that I think I would rename this tool Remove Lines instead of Remove Power Lines, because it can indeed remove power lines. I was fairly impressed with how well it did it, but it doesn't stop there. It finds other lines in the shot and it removes those as well. So that was kind of a hoop. So you have to kind of keep an eye on it. And one thing you can do with this app is that you can tap on the image to get the before image, and then let your finger off and you get the after image. And when I did remove power lines, I actually had to do some before and after just to check what other lines it removed, because almost every time it would remove something else, like the pinstriping off a car that was parked in the foreground. I mean, it found all sorts of lines. It was actually really interesting. That being said, I'm still glad it's in here, because power lines are really tough to remove. And I sort of felt like I'm still coming out ahead. If it gets the power lines in the shot, then, and it has some, minor alterations in other areas, a lot of times those alterations didn't bother me. And I was just so happy to have the power lines gone. So I'm still a thumbs up on remove power lines, but I'm just warning you, keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. Make sure that it doesn't remove something that you want as well. All right, next tool is AI Enhance. And people who use Skylum software are very familiar with their AI Enhance. It's great. It's in Luminar, Luminar Neo, all that stuff. This version of it isn't quite as powerful as what I experienced on the computer, but it's still pretty good. I found myself, when I use AI Enhance on an image, I found myself moving the slider almost all the way over to the right at the most powerful enhance setting. And again, that's something I just want to remark about all these tools. Most of them have fine tuners. So, you get what it initially gives you, and then you can fine tune. You can add more or less, things like that. So I found myself really kind of, whenever I used it, I felt like I went all the way to the right. And it did have, one or two kind of odd behaviors. I noticed sometimes on faces, it didn't enhance them evenly. And so I had to kind of keep an eye on that. Overall, it's pretty good. So the way I was using it, I do AI enhance on the shot. And then if there was an area that it didn't really enhance the way that I wanted, I would just go to the regular adjustments, shadows, highlights, you know, those adjustments, and then just maybe open up the shadows a bit more or something like that. So overall, I thought AI enhance was good, but not quite as good, at least not yet, as what we have on the computer. Still glad to have it there. Skin and body AI. These are the two new tools that were just released. I think just today were they available. And the skin AI is pretty nice. And the thing about a lot of snapshots we take of people, the lighting is not flattering, right? The lighting's coming in from the side or from on top or whatever. It's enhancing texture. It's doing, you know, all the things we don't want. We're not using fill flash with our camera phones very much. You know, a lot of times people don't get a fair shake when it comes to their skin in the shots that we take. And I really felt like that skin AI just sort of allows us to smooth that out a bit. It does it in a pretty flattering way. If you go all the way over to the right with it, it can look a little overcooked. I liked it about 3/4 most of the time, but I thought it was pretty good. And then on the body AI, basically you can slim. You can slim a bit with it. It was fun playing with it, and it did a pretty natural job on it. I don't think it's something I'd use a whole lot. But again, sometimes people look thicker than they really are because of the angle, the lighting, and the camera itself makes them look thicker than they do in real life. And of course, we all hate that. We all hate being thicker than we really think we are. You know, we look in the mirror, so we kind of know what we should look like. And then you see a picture and you go, oh my God, I must have had a whale that day or something. So the body AI, I think, can be useful in just sort of bringing the body back to what the person would expect, what is reasonable for their bodies. It's not like turning someone who's overweight into Twiggy. It's not that kind of thing at all. It's mainly just sort of bringing things back to how they were before the camera got a hold of us. And I don't think it's something I'm going to use a lot, but it is very interesting. The next thing, filters. I really was impressed with filters. And this feels like a great collection of LUTs, lookup tables. They seem very smart to me and very photographic. And again, they're broken out into categories: creative portraits, great landscapes, pets, selfie, black and white. There's all sorts of categories. And they're really quite good. And I really feel like what they've given us are a whole bunch of very nice LUTs. And I love these a lot. Almost every photo that I've edited with this app, I've used one of these filters on it. And they're not like the clumsy filters like you see in photos where you can't find one that you like to save your life, right? You just look at them and go, these are horrible. These aren't those. These are very nice. And they really help you kind of set the mood that you want, you know? And that's what I like about them. The shots just doesn't, it's like, this is too colorful for that shot. And so you can like choose a LUT that has a little bit more muted colors and, you know, things like that. So I like the filters a lot. Make sure you explore them all. And then it has adjust and crop, which we'd expect. So you can adjust shadows, highlights, all that. You can crop, you can rotate, you can straighten a horizon. You know, the basic stuff that we would expect in an app of this caliber. And then it has the erase tool. And the erase tool, at first, it was a total strikeout because I didn't realize that I could adjust the diameter of what, you know, what the erase pointer is, what the erasing tip is, whatever you want to call that. And I think the default was way too big. And so I was just making a mess. But then I just, oh, look at this little slider here. And it allows me to, you know, move, when I move it to the left, that diameter gets smaller. And it was a little bit easier to do something that was semi-precise. You're using your finger. And even with adjusting the tip, it's still not like using even a mouse, let alone a Wacom tablet, but you can get rid of, you know, things that are gross. You can get rid of photo bombs and things like that. So for that reason, I still like it. And it does a content-aware like fill. So whatever you take out, it's reading the information around it and then doing content-aware fill right there. That part is really good. Skyline's always been good at that. And so overall, I like the erase tool and I'm getting better with it. By the way, if you do make a mistake, it does have a fix, right? It's called the restore option. So you go to restore and then you can undo whatever boo-boo you made. I don't have an erase tool in Photos or anything like that. So I'm really happy to have it just if for no other reason to get rid of the, you know, the blunders or the branch sticking in the side of the frame, you know, stuff like that. That's just like one swipe and it's gone and suddenly you love the picture 10 times more. Good to have. So those are the basic tools that are in there. And then, of course, you can modify them with, you know, additional little adjustments. A pretty comprehensive kit right now. And I honestly think that Skyline's going to keep working on this app and keep improving it. Like I said, they just added two new tools today, and I foresee more stuff coming down the road. Now, so how much does it cost? Well, they have a 7-day free trial, and then they have an assortment of pricing options. But the one that I think is most reasonable is the $24.99 a year plan. $24.99 for a year, so it's roughly $2 a month. And honestly, for even an app that's this young, I think that's a fair price. I you know how much I love subscriptions. I don't love them at all. And in fact, I just got rid of a bunch of subscriptions, but this is one that I think I'm probably going to hang on to because I have it sitting there next to my Photos app now on both my iPhone and my iPad. And, you know, I can do the basic stuff in Photos. Then I have, you know, some of these really cool tools in the Skyline app. And together, they just seem to work really nicely. So I'm fairly high on this. I think some folks, depending on what your expectations are for an app like this, you may go, nah, no, it's just not for me. You know, it's too coarse or it's too, doesn't have this or that, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's no layers. I mean, I hear all sorts of stuff whenever I talk about software. Well, I can't use it. It doesn't have layers. And I go, okay. Anyway, but it does have 7 days for you to check it out. And if you don't like it, you can just end your subscription right there on your device. And no harm done whatsoever. And again, remember, don't forget, the name of this is IMGMI. IMGMI. And I should run a contest for how to pronounce it. Terrible name, pretty good little app. Couple finds trove of 2,000 cameras and lenses in storage unit. I just love this story. This story is a trip. I have the link to the original article in Petapixel, and it's really worth clicking on looking at because there's a ton of photos that go with this story, and the photos are just crazy. And you'll see why after I read it to you. Kristen Cusimano, who works part-time at a tanning salon, was asked by her boss in December to empty out a storage unit. Quote, "My boss, the guy who owns the salon, happens to own several other properties around town, including a storage unit. One of the guys who rented out the unit passed away a few years ago, and eventually my boss had to empty out the unit. My boyfriend was doing some work for him at the time, and my boss asked him if he'd be interested in cleaning out the unit. My boyfriend loves doing that kind of stuff, and when he found out that we could keep whatever we found inside as payment, he agreed immediately. After clearing out all the boxes, the couple now estimates that the collection they discovered there contained over 1,000 film cameras and roughly 1,000 lenses. The equipment the couple found is a film photographer's dream. Quote, "The vast majority of the collection is Miranda and Minolta," she says. "There's also a good amount of Feds, Voigtlander, Zorkas, Fujis, Yashicas, Pentaxes, Practicas, Mamiya Secors, Exactas, Olympus, Konicas, and some TLRs and other brands I can't think of at the moment. I'm keeping the Minolta XK, the TLRs, and most likely one each of the Minolta since we have so many of them and they're just so aesthetically pleasing to me, she says. Friedrich will most likely be keeping an Orion and a Miranda T and probably one each of the Mirandas for the same reason. It's unclear how long this camera equipment was hidden away in the storage unit, but many of them may now be destined for actual photo making again. I mean, what a boon to the film camera market. And now these people find 1,000 of these things. And when you look at the pictures, they look to be in good shape. I have no idea this guy who collected this stuff, especially so many of the same versions of the same cameras, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's one thing to have a collection where you have different models. This guy would have like, you know, 25 of, you know, the Minolta SRTs and all that kind of stuff. It's just a fun article. You should look at the pictures. It's just a hoot. I mean, here they have the small apartment, this couple. And, you know, right away, they're trying to figure out, okay, we got to bring all this stuff into the apartment. We've got to organize it. They put shelving in there. They are surrounded by film cameras and lenses. And I'm tickled pink for them. And at the same time, I'm pretty excited for the film photography community because I think a lot of cameras are now going to be circulating out there and being put back in use. Rhino's new time-lapse camera is a stamina champion with 100 days of life. Now, you can read this entire article on digitalcameraworld.com. And this is a bit of a revelation to me. I honestly did not know that these kinds of cameras existed. I don't know why. I just never thought of it. But let me read you this. This sounds pretty cool, especially if you've got some construction project or something that you want to document. The Brino TLC300 is the perfect construction camera offering 100 days of power from 4 AA cells. The best time-lapse cameras are what you need if you want to create a stop-motion movie of something taking place over days, weeks, or even months. If you want, therefore, to create a video of a building being built, these are what you need. And Brino is the best known brand in the specialist camera market, having sold over 1 million cameras since its first launch in 2008. The new Brino TLC300 is designed to give users the best possible experience in time-lapse while also keeping things very simple so as not to confuse any users. For instance, the TLC300 has a completely IPX4 rated waterproof housing and mounting accessories with it to complement its 100-day battery life. So you have a camera that can outdo almost all of the current market competitors. And while others use rechargeable battery cells, the TLC300 uses 4 standard AA batteries available worldwide. So when that 100 days is up, you can easily swap in some more without having to reach for your charger. However, addressing the elephant in the room, this new time-lapse camera can only capture in 1080p. It might be unlimited until the battery runs out, but there's no escaping the fact in a world of 4K cameras or the ability to use a mirrorless camera or DSLR to achieve 4K time-lapse, 1080p may seem a little below par, but it is undoubtedly fine for the web and display use for this sort of video. And it is a step up from the 720p offered by its predecessor, the TLC 200 Pro. One key feature of the TLC 300 is the ability to schedule recording. Not only have you give certain time on a specific day, but you can also schedule multiple days with breaks in between, scheduling Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday to record and skip the other. So it's just a handy little device. It looks like it's about $350. And like I said, this was kind of a revelation to me. And, you know, he's talking about the 1080p as a possible limitation, but I think for you know, what this camera would be used for. I mean, we're not using it for a feature movie. We're using it to document, and I think 1080p is just fine. And it says, yeah, our mirrorless cameras can do 4K. You're going to leave your mirrorless camera mounted to the side of a wall at a construction site for 2 months? Probably not. Right? Whereas this little baby can sit there. It just looks like a little CCTV camera, in all honesty. So I thought it was just fun. And if you have a project like this coming up where you could use something like this, cool little camera. I have the link to the article in the show notes so you can learn more about it if you wish. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. A big shout out to our Patreon members. These are the folks that support this community in this podcast month in and month out. Really appreciate that support. They also have their own exclusive Inner Circle site on Derek Story Online. And they have an area on Patreon that's just for us as well. And we use this for all sorts of things. They also get discounts on all the workshops, you know, and I solicit their opinions. So they have a guiding hand in what we're going to do from year to year with this community. Just a terrific group. I think you would enjoy being part of the Inner Circle. And if you want to learn more, just click on the tile that says Patreon on all the pages of the Digital Story. Check it out, learn more, and hopefully you will join us in 2023. I'd also like to give a tip of the hat to our friends at Red River Paper. And once again, they are going to be coming into the spotlight because our online printing workshop, the second one already, starts next week. I'm so excited. We've got a great group of people. They're chomping at the bit. They cannot wait to get this workshop going. And Red River Paper is going to be a big part of this workshop. What a wonderful partnership we have with them. They are the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. And if you want to learn more about them and see what they have to offer in addition to the best printing paper that you can get on the market, all you have to do is click on the Red River Paper tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look around, see what they got going on. If you want to buy a new printer, make sure you go there first and read what's going on. If you want to work on a specific project, take a look. They probably have a project page for you and even help you make the right paper selection for that project. They also have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. A huge thanks to them for supporting this show. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Working on more goodies for next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Take lots of pictures. Be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.